If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Psalm 119, we'll pick up in verse 33 through 40. Remember, this entire psalm is written about the power, the beauty, the glory, the sufficiency, the necessity of God's Word. It simply extols the attributes of God's Word and why we should place it very high in our understanding, and we should hold it very high in our regard, and we should spend a lot of time in God's Word because it is how God has revealed Himself to us. God's divine character is, it says in Scripture, is demonstrated or illustrated in nature. But to know God's person, to know the way He thinks, to know His desire for us, to know Him personally, comes through His Word. We can get some general understanding about God. There is a God. He's a powerful God. He's a creator God because of the order and the perfection of nature and how everything works together. But to know Him and who He is, we can only find that through His Word. And so the heart of the psalmist is extolling the attributes of God's Word, but his desire, as he's extolling it, his desire is to know it more. And see, that's the thing as a pastor. I've studied God's Word, and I've been in classes about God's Word, but man, I want to know it more because you can never exhaust the understanding of God's Word. You can never know everything about it. You can hide it in our heart that we might not sin against Him, and it is a guard for our life. It is direction for our life. It is understanding for our life. And so we need to know more and more about it. And the heart of the psalmist is that he would know God's Word more and that God would lead him to a better understanding, a right understanding of God's Word. And that, man, that needs to be the desire of all of our hearts. As your pastor, my desire is to know God's Word more because that's all I've got to offer to you. I mean, I've got nothing else to give. I've got nothing else to offer of any value except the Word of God. I've got nothing to lead His church through except the Word of God. I've got nothing of any value except the Word of God. And so I want to know it more so I can share it with you so you can know it more. And I can't share enough, so you need to be studying on your own. And so it needs to be the desire of your heart to know it more. And so as we look through it, man, my goal, my desire as we walk through this psalm is that we would fall in love again with the Word of God and see the absolute necessity, the priority, the beauty, the value of the Word of God. And so in verse 33, the psalmist picks up again, and in this section, kind of the headline that I put in it is that he's talking about the sufficiency of God and that everything that he needs comes from the Word of God. So he begins in verse 33. He's beseeching, he's begging God, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all of my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive or quicken me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me or quicken me through your righteousness." So in this section of the psalm, the writer is just, he's asking God to pour into him. Make him teachable. And see, that's one of the hardest thing to do as a person, as a human being, is to always be teachable. Because too often, when we begin to learn something, we think we're an expert. We get a degree and we think we've got it figured out. We need to be, we're the ones that everybody else needs to come to. But man, as a Christ follower, as a child of God, man, we need to be hungry for more and more understanding, for to always have a teachable spirit. And that's one thing that I pray for often. God, help me have, God created me a teachable spirit. That I don't think anybody else is beneath me to where I have nothing that I can learn from anyone else. God, I want you to teach me. And sometimes you teach me through people. Sometimes you teach me through people that aren't even saved. Sometimes you teach me through brothers and sisters in Christ that are walking through troubles, that have been there before me and are really have an understanding beyond my own. So he's asking God when he says to teach me, part of that is to God create in me this teachable spirit, this hunger and thirst for your word. Because God's not going to force feed us. And I learned in college, you don't gain knowledge by osmosis. You can't just lay your head down on your book and sleep during class and think you're just going to soak it all in. It doesn't happen that way. Learning and understanding is not a passive activity. It doesn't just happen automatically. If we want to learn something, we've got to put our time and effort into it. We've got to do our part. My wife's a physics teacher. I used to be a science teacher. Teachers can only do so much. If the kid don't want to learn, you can't force them to learn. If the parent isn't encouraging them, if the kid doesn't want to know the information, you can make all the great slides, you can do all the cute things, you can do all the things that the state says you need to do, you can do all kinds of tricks and all kind of fun stuff, but if they don't give a rip about it, you can't make them know it. And see, that's true about God too. If you're not interested in the Word of God, you're never going to know the Word of God. If you don't want to understand God's ways, if you don't want to understand the heart of God, He's not going to force it on you. You're not going to get it through osmosis and come sitting through a Sunday morning or Sunday night service, or even going to small groups and just sitting there and thinking, okay, I showed up. I ought to leave here knowing something. What'd you do to prepare? Are you hungry to know? Are you participating? Are you putting any effort in? Learning is pretty much equal to the effort you put into it. You're going to get what you get put into it. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. So he says, God, teach me, O Lord, your statutes. And he's committed. He wants to know because he wants to obey. And I shall observe them to the end. God, teach me. I want to know. And the purpose that I want to know it is I want to put it into practice. I want to get better at being a Christ follower. I want to get better at being obedient. I want to get better at leading others to you. I want to get better at forgiving. I want to get better at these things. And God, I need you to teach me. Your statutes and being obedient is far beyond my own ability. I don't know enough. God, I want to know. But if it's not knowing to put into practice, it's wasted time. That's what's happened, I think, a lot of times in church. We come and we get poured into and we get poured into and we get poured into and we learn and we class this and we class that and we go to Sunday school and we go to Bible study and we do all this stuff and we're getting all this knowledge, but with no real desire to put it into practice. See, he says, God, teach me and I will keep it to the end. I will put it into practice for the rest of my life. God, when you reveal your truth to me, I don't want to just know it. I want to live it. And see, that's the thing of God's word. If we're not living it, then we don't really understand the purpose of it. It's of no value to us. So he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law. Now, when he says observe, he's not talking about just look at it. He's not talking about, okay, I'm just going to, okay, give me understanding so I can read it. No, he's saying, God, I want to dwell on your word, and I want you to give me deep understanding. I want you to open my eyes and my mind to the truths that are in it, and then help me know how to apply it. How is this word of yours going to change the way I live? How is this word of yours going to transform my relationships and my behavior? God, I want to understand it, not just to know it. Teach me the knowledge, and I'll observe it, but I want to understand it. Let me know the why. Why is this important? Why is it important for me to forgive somebody? Why is it important for me to be obedient? God, I want to keep it with all of my heart. I don't want just half-hearted obedience. Well, the Bible says do it, so I guess I got to do it. That's too often our attitude. Okay, I know that. But, and so we go into it half-hearted and we fail. We don't observe His law. We don't put it into practice very well because we go into it with a half-hearted attitude of, yeah, you know, the Bible says that, I guess I better do it. Instead of it being the passion of our lives. God, open my eyes to understanding, why is this important? How does this transform? How does this help me honor You? God, how does this help me reach the lost? God, how does this make a difference in the way I deal with people? God, show me, help me understand it. Teach me, give me the knowledge, but God, also help me understand it so I can rightly apply it to my life. I can keep it with all my heart. Then in verse 35, it says, make me. Now, this isn't a taskmaster, make me. Okay, God, beat me into submission. That's not what He's asking. What He's saying is literally it says, God, enable me. God, I want to know Your word. I want to understand Your word and how it applies to my life. But then, God, enable me. In other words, give me the confidence. Give me the faith. Give me the desire. God, it's not within me to be obedient. God, give me what I need to follow it. Enable me. Make me to walk in the paths of Your commandments. For I delight in it. Joy comes through obedience. And so when we ask God, okay, we study God's word, teach me Your word, and I'll keep it to the end. Help me understand it so I can apply it in my life, and then enable me, God, give me wisdom, give me the courage, give me the faith to put it into practice because I delight in it. Joy comes through obedience. Again, we talked about it a little bit this morning. The most miserable part of my life was when I knew what I was supposed to be doing, but I didn't want to do it. I was living in disobedience and rebellion. I was miserable because I was a child of God who was living in rebellion. I was a child of God who wasn't living in obedience. And so God's not going to give us joy when we're in rebellion. The psalmist knows, God, teach me Your word, give me understanding, enable me to do it, because that's where joy is found. That's where the enthusiasm for life comes from, is when I'm obedient to Your word. I know it's the truth. I understand it. So God, enable me to be obedient so I can experience the joy of obedience. The joy that comes from God comes through our obedience. Without obedience, there is no joy. And then again, he says, God, incline my heart to Your testimony. So he's asking the first part of it, God, give me divine guidance. Teach me, give me understanding, make me or enable me to walk in the paths of righteousness. God, give me divine understanding. Give me divine guidance. God, help me do this almost impossible thing, walk in obedience, deny myself, take up my cross daily, and follow You. All right? So God, give me that divine guidance. But now he says, God, give me passion, guard my heart. Says, incline my heart to Your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. See, the psalmist understood what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters. You can't serve God and material things. And so the psalmist is saying, God, instead of me letting my heart incline towards material things and the possessions and the things of this world, instead of riches, God, incline my heart. In other words, make my heart predisposed to You. God, draw my heart to You. Align my heart to Your word rather than aligning my heart to the things of this world. Kind of what we talked about this morning. God, let my passions be in the right place. Let my passion be towards You and Your word. Incline my heart to Your word. Incline my heart to Your testimonies. And not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes. God, I need some help making sure I'm staying focused here. God, I need some help. Incline my heart, my passions towards You, but God, also turn my eyes away from sin. God, turn my eyes away from those things that I don't need to be looking at. Don't let me focus on these things and let them grab my passions. The important or the thing we need to understand, that thing that we dwell on is not where our passions are. Our passions don't cause us to move in one direction. It's we look at something, and we start developing a desire for it. Our heart becomes inclined towards it. Something catches our attention. Something catches our focus. Might be a hot girl. Might be a good-looking guy. It might be a party over here, a group of people that we want to hang out with or be associated with. Man, they catch our eye, and I say, hey, they're the popular kids. I want to be a part of them. And so we see it. It catches our eye, and then it starts pulling our heart and our passions. So we've got to guard our hearts. He says, God, turn my eyes. Guard my eyes. Turn my eyes away from looking at vanity, those things that are of no value for the kingdom. What was it that the preacher says in Ecclesiastes? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Outside of a relationship with the Lord, everything in life is vanity. And God, don't let my eyes look on those things that just satisfy me. That's what its vanity is all about. We talk about vanity as a woman. You know, guys are the same way. You know, there's not a mirror we walk in front of we don't look at. Okay, is my hair okay? Does I look all right? You know, and I don't have to worry about that much. But you know, we're vain. We know we're vain because take a group picture, and you're in that group. Who's the first person you look at? Tell the truth. You look at you. And you decide if we're going to take another picture or not. Not by how everybody else looks. Was my picture good? Was I smiling? Or did I have my eyes open? Wait a minute, that's not my good side. Let's take another picture. We know we're vain because every time we look at a group picture that we're in, the first person we look at it, we look at me. How did I look in that picture? And so he says, God, don't let my heart be drawn, my eyes be drawn to vanity, where all I think about, all I look about, all I'm focused on is me. And I'm not worried about you and other people. Life is all about me. God, don't let my eyes be drawn there. Guard my eyes, guard my heart, guard my passions. Lord, because I am sinful, I am weak. I want to do right. I want to honor you. I want to be obedient. But God, I'm very prone to selfishness and vanity. So he's saying, God, help me in this area. I can't do this on my own, but your word is sufficient. Your word is what changed my heart. Your word is what guards my eyes. Your word is what draws my passion and helps me to move forward in my own. He says, turn my eyes away from looking at vanity, verse 37, and quicken me in your ways. Now again, what does it mean to quicken? To engage, to move forward, to not be static or still, but quicken me, excite me in your ways. Turn my eyes away from vanity and quicken me in your ways. God, let me find my passion in obedience. Let me find my passion in honoring you. Let me find my passion not in satisfying my comfort and my desires, but God, in honoring you. Quicken me in your ways. Then 38, he says, after we understand, after you teach me and you give me understanding, you guard my heart and you guard my mind, you guard my eyes, you quicken me into your ways, you excite me about doing what's right, God, establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence. My desire is to live in reverence of you. God, establish your word. In other words, make it the foundation. Make it come true. Establish your word. Be faithful to your word. You said that if I'll honor you with my life, God, you'll provide what I need. God, show up and show out. God, let me see. Let me experience this. So establish your word. Don't let me begin to wonder because I don't see you doing what you said you would do. Establish your word in me. Make it real. Make it a fortress. Make it something I can build my life upon. As that which produces reverence for you, as I see you and experience you, as I read your word, I put it into practice, and God, I see you showing up. I see it doing what you said it would do. Then God, it begins to establish itself in my heart, and it begins to cause me to reverence you even more. To respect you even more. and want you even more and find more joy in following you and living for you. So establish your word in your servant as that which produces reverence. Turn away my reproach, which I dread. In other words, God, I don't want to mess up. God, I don't want to fail. I don't want to rebel. God, I know I'm weak. I know I'm prone to sin. As the old song says, I'm prone to wonder. But God, if you establish your word, if you teach me and help me understand, you guard my heart, you guard my eyes. God, you're involved in all of this. God, it will cause me not to wonder. It will make me less likely to fall and to fail and to rebel. God, I don't want to do that. Because when I sin against you, it breaks my heart. When I find myself in disobedience, God, my joy is gone. My energy is gone. It's devastating to my spirit. So God, I don't want to do that. So take that away from me by establishing your word in my heart. For your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me, quicken me through your righteousness. There's nothing like being right in the center of God's will. Doesn't mean it's always going to be pleasant. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. But even in those difficult days, even in those times where it's not pleasant, it's not fun, and it's not comfortable, there is joy and peace when we know we're in the center of God's will. We know we're living in obedience and not rebellion. There is a satisfaction in God. There is a joy in obedience. And when we're living for Him and living in right relationship with Him, then life is meaningful, no matter what's going on around us. Life is a joy, no matter what the struggle may be or our circumstances. So the psalmist knows this, and he knows all of this is found in the Word of God. It's knowing it. It's putting it into practice. It guards our hearts and sets up the guardrails. All of it is found in the Word of God. Everything that we need, everything that we could hope for, everything that God promises is found in obedience to the Word of God. In a right relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. God's Word is sufficient for all that we need. It is sufficient. And the psalmist understood that. And see, when we are convinced of that, when we say, God, I know it, but I want to live it. God, I want you to teach me your word. Help me understand it to put it in practice. Guard my heart. Guard my eyes. Guard my passions, God. And let me find joy in the obedience to your word. And God, I know that when you establish your word in my heart, you set it up as the guidepost. You set it up as the standard by which I live. You establish it in my heart. You show how you're faithful to your word when I'm obedient. Then God, that will guard me. That will sustain me. Even when it's difficult. So God, let your word be established in me. That's the desire of my heart. And I hope, and I'm pretty sure that's the desire of your heart. But it's just like that physics class. It's just like that whatever class you've taken. If you don't put anything into it, you're not going to get anything out of it. If you don't put in the time and the effort, if you're not seeking God's word, God's will, God's truth, He's not going to force it on you. And you're not going to learn. It doesn't happen through osmosis. It doesn't happen just by coming and showing it up and listening. It comes by study, dedication, implementation, and passion for the Word of God. That's how we grow in God's Word. Pray you spend time in it this week. Let's pray. God, thank you for this powerful Word that you have.